stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, WebSphere MQ for ZOS version 7 as the messaging backbone for SOA, Web 2.0 and file transfer. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn why more than 10,000 customers in various industries, including all global 20 banks, rely on WebSphere MQ. It gives businesses an SOA messaging backbone across nearly 80 different platform configurations and supports many programming languages and interfaces. The speaker for today's teleconference is Morag Houston, WebSphere MQ Product Architect. At this time, I'd like to turn things over to Morag. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi there, this is WebSphere MQ for ZOS version 7 as the messaging backbone for SOA, Web 2.0, and file transfer. Just a note here of the trademarks used within this presentation. Next page. Our agenda today is going to cover the role of WebSphere MQ in SOA, WebSphere MQ for ZOS highlights, and then what's new in WebSphere MQ version 7. We're also going to take a quick look at WebSphere MQ and the web, and WebSphere MQ and files. Let's look at the universal messaging backbone with WebSphere MQ. This extends the reach of your enterprise to deliver business data with a range of qualities of service for the features on Z, such as KICS. We have support for virtually every commercial IT system with 80-plus platform configurations, some of which are listed on the foil there. WebSphere MQ on Z is a unique code base designed natively to tightly integrate with ZOS. It exploits System Z functionality, for example, Parallel Sysplex, to provide shared queues for continuous availability, scalability, and capacity. It runs as a formal MVS subsystem. We can enable popular applications and environments. We have built-in bridges and adapters for KICS, IMS, and Batch and TSO. We have JCA support to provide JMS services for JEE app servers. We support databases, for example, DB2 and Oracle. And we have support for external transaction coordinators. Also, there are over 950 ISVs with enabled packaged applications using WebSphere MQ. Next page. Now we're going to take a look at WebSphere MQ for ZOS and the highlights. Next page. Briefly, let's have a look at WebSphere MQ in a nutshell. In a nutshell, it provides a simple yet functionally rich application programming interface known as the Message Queue Interface, or MQI for short, across all supported platforms. And it also fully implements the industry standard Java Message Service, or JMS for short. These interfaces provide application-to-application communication through queues or topics and allow those applications to not be concerned with the location of those queues and topics or who processes the messages sent to them. Applications communicate with one another using put and get verbs, and this allows great flexibility in creating application interaction patterns ranging from pseudosynchronous request-response styles to fire-and-forget styles and mixtures of both. A request-response interaction pattern is just what its name suggests. To the requester, the application appears to be completely synchronous invocation of the server application with a response from the server after execution, but it is in fact implemented by two distinct asynchronous one-way message exchanges. The MQI provides a simple way in which these two flows can be combined to make a pseudo-synchronous pattern. Many customers use just such an interaction pattern to support customer-facing interactions and achieve satisfactory response times that meet or exceed their business requirements. Similarly, the fire-and-forget style applies to one-way message exchange in which a response is not required. MQ provides reliable message delivery to help ensure that the message data is propagated to the target queue. Transactional support is also provided by MQ, both as a resource manager coordinated by transaction coordinators like KICS or RRS, and as an XA programming interface coordinator on distributed platforms. This helps to ensure that messages can be delivered with full transactional integrity, providing assured delivery in support of business-critical applications. Next page. WebSphere MQ for ZOS provides access to KICS, IMS, and DB2 shared procedures and batch TSO, explicitly using the MQI. For example, we have a KICS adapter that can connect a KICS subsystem to a queue manager, allowing that KICS application program to use the MQI. We also have an IMS adapter and a batch adapter. Next page. Additionally, we also have bridges supplied for KICS and IMS, allowing these KICS and IMS applications to use their native APIs, for example, ExecKICS APIs. It allows applications to access MQ without needing to be changed to use MQ APIs. Next page. MQ on ZOS provides full support for transactional environments for Kix, IMS, WebSphere Application Server, DB2 stored procedures, and batch RRS environments to provide reliable two-phase commit operations using MQ along with other resource managers, for example, DB2. Next page. Shared queues are provided on ZOS. WebSphere MQ for ZOS takes advantage of the IBM Parallel Sysplex technology, increasing availability, capacity, and performance for persistent and non-persistent messages by enabling multiple queue managers to access the same queue. If we look at the pool model and triggering delivery style of MQ from availability perspective, it can be seen that if there is a problem with the queues themselves, the queue managers hosting the AORs or the AORs themselves, then we have a problem with the delivery of the message data into Kix. MQ provides two mechanisms to address this. One is a platform-wide facility called MQ Queue Manager Clustering, and the other is support of Sysplex Shared Queues. MQ clustering provides two powerful facilities that can be used to reduce administration and provide workload distribution. Automatic discovery of queues within a cluster and auto-definition of the resources to access them, and the automatic push workload distribution to spread messages around a number of cloned cluster queues, thus reducing the overall impact should there be a local failure. Complementing this, MQ on ZOS provides support for Sysplex shared queues to provide the maximum possible availability of message data. A shared queue is not owned by any individual queue manager and, as a result, is isolated from the outage of an individual queue manager or logical partition. Message data is accessible from anywhere in the Sysplex, and a Sysplex distributor can be used to route connections around the Sysplex under the control of ZOS workload manager. Additionally, MQ maintains knowledge of the transactional state of all the shared queue resources, so it can provide support for dynamic backout of shared queue messages within a unit of work in case a connected queue manager fails. WebSphere MQ for ZOS also brings some very significant availability and performance benefits, including shared queue support and automatic load balancing, as well as isolation of server failures with automatic peer recovery of failing queue managers. Next page. Let's look at highly available queue managers for failover for ZOS. The clustering features of WebSphere MQ enable messages to be redirected around parts of the messaging backbone that have become isolated by network failure or otherwise unavailable without the applications. Clustering can help reduce administration of the message backbone. It enables many WebSphere MQ queue managers to be administered together as a group. A queue sharing group consists of a number of queue managers running within a single ZOS Sysplex that can access the same MQ object definitions and message data concurrently. Within a queue sharing group, the shareable object definitions are stored in a shared DB2 database, and the messages are held inside one or more coupling facility structures, or CF structures, and in the shared DB2 database. Any queue manager in the queue sharing group can access a shared queue. This means that you can put a message onto a shared queue on one queue manager and get the same message from the queue from a different queue manager. This provides a rapid mechanism for communication within a queue sharing group that does not require channels to be active between queue managers. Large messages, those greater than 63K, have a placeholder stored in the coupling facility and their message data stored in DB2. Our figure shows three queue managers and a coupling facility forming a queue sharing group. All three queue managers can access the shared queue in the coupling facility. An application can connect to any of the queue managers within the queue sharing group. Because all the queue managers in the queue sharing group can access all the shared queues, the application does not depend on the availability of a specific queue manager. Any queue manager in the queue sharing group can service the queue. WebSphere MQ for ZOS also brings some very significant availability and performance benefits, including shared queue support and automatic load balancing, as well as isolation of server failures with automatic peer recovery of failing queue managers. Next page. Security is one of the number one concerns of CIOs. WebSphere MQ on ZOS provides a number of security features. Channels have the ability to use Secure Socket Layer, or SSL, now also referred to as TLS. This was introduced in WebSphere MQ 5.3. This uses the ZOS Cryptographic Services System SSL function, which is part of ZOS. WebSphere MQ for ZOS uses the security server on Z, previously known as RACF, in order to provide its authorization service. And there's the WebSphere MQ Extended Security Edition for ZOS, which provides additional security capabilities using the Tivoli Access Manager for Business Integration product. This allows you to do end-to-end security of encryption of messages and data integrity checking. Next page. This foil shows IBM's vision for the SOA messaging backbone. It shows a number of different skills that may be used using MQ, the different languages that MQ provides interfaces in. We see there are many different endpoints, some of these listed here, many different qualities of service, and different messaging styles. The vision is to extend the breadth and choice within each of these areas, lowering dependencies on specialist skills and enabling synergies. We hope to have support for a wide variety of qualities of service, providing a business data highway that can connect all IT platforms, applications, and services across the enterprise. That is IBM's vision for the SOA messaging backbone. Next page. We're now going to take a look at what's new in WebSphere MQ version 7 for ZOS. Next page. The central requirement for WebSphere MQ version 7 was to improve the JMS implementation that MQ provided. More applications are being written using this API, the JMS API, and it underpins many of the SOA and ESB solutions that need access to messaging. The changes we made in version 7 for this reason led to designs involving ease of use features and some targeted performance areas. It, however, did not just lead to enhancements for JMS users, but actually it led to enhancements for all applications, those using the MQ API or the JMS API. As we will see in a few pages' time, one of the headline items in WebSphere MQ version 7 was the extension of publish-subscribe capabilities. This was designed with the message broker in mind as well. We have also added some additional application programming interface calls to MQ's API based on features that are popular in the JMS API. And all this was done with an administration model and the APIs that were added as a natural evolution of existing interfaces. This will look and feel like a good extension to MQ's API and administration model to those users who are already familiar with what MQ has today. Next page. Publish-subscribe. Point-to-point asynchronous messaging decouples applications from each other but still implies a one-to-one relationship between sender and receiver. Publish-subscribe is a further stage of decoupling since the sender has no direct knowledge of how many, if any, applications will see a message. In publish-subscribe, the link between applications is a topic, not a queue. In JMS API, both topics and queues can be referred to as destinations. Publish-subscribe is a natural part of the JMS API, and with WebSphere MQ version 7, it is now also a natural part of the native MQI. New verbs and options that we will see later make it easy to use publish-subscribe from any environment. In WebSphere MQ version 7, there is a publish-subscribe engine as part of the queue manager on all distributed and ZOS systems. This is addressed directly through the MQI, replacing the queue-based interface available in WebSphere MQ version 6 and previously as the MA0C support pack. The administration model for this uses the standard MQ model, again replacing the interfaces available in WebSphere MQ version 6. Although these older interfaces are now deprecated, they are still supported to ensure coexistence with earlier versions of applications that may connect to a WebSphere MQ version 7 queue manager. The publish-subscribe engine is part of the queue manager and is always available. It does not have to be manually started. A queued-based publish-subscribe daemon is provided to ensure coexistence of the V6 style of publish-subscribe with version 7 and to migrate the use of the V6 interface to version 7. MQ on ZOS has not previously had a native publish-subscribe capability and has had to rely on message broker or connecting to MQ on a distributed platform for access to PubSub services. This limitation has now been removed as there is a native feature on ZOS now providing publish-subscribe within MQ. Next page. Publish-subscribe on MQ version 7 all comes down to something known as a topic string. The topic string, for example, here, /sports/cricket/West Indies, is what you subscribe to and what you publish on. We supply a default set of behaviors with a topic string, but if you need to change our default set of behaviors, you can do so by defining a topic object. This topic object, like a queue or a channel definition, perhaps like a process definition. It contains behavioral definitions, but it does not store messages. It can be used to define major points in the topic tree, and points lower down in the hierarchical topic tree will inherit their behavior from parental nodes. You can see the behavior of applications in your queue manager by looking at the status related to these topic strings with a new display TP status command. You can also apply security to particular nodes in your hierarchical topic tree by applying those profiles to the topic objects that you might have defined. Next page. Let's have a further look at some of the publish-subscribe administration. When applications have subscribed to a topic or are publishing on a topic, the queue manager can be interrogated to show the details of these applications. This interrogation is by means of MQC or PCF commands as per our usual model. The details displayed are specific to publishers or subscribers and are in addition to that shown via the display con command, since subscribers may remain registered when they are not connected to the queue manager. No cleanup is required when subscriptions are made non-durably, since the queue manager recognizes these natively and will clean up any non-durable subscriptions when the application disconnects. This means you do not have queues continuing to fill up with messages when a non-durable subscriber has disconnected. The security of who can use a particular topic string is something that is restricted by permissions on the associated topic object, as we just mentioned. In the same way that attributes can be inherited from their parent topics in the hierarchy, security settings can also be inherited from the parent topics. We follow the existing security model for MQ, that is the SAF interface on ZOS, for example using RACF, and the OAM on distributed. As part of doing our changes to our security model on ZOS, we additionally added the ability to use mixed case profile support on ZOS with this version of MQ. You can convert applications that were written prior to MQ version 7 from being a point-to-point application to being a publish-subscribe application without changing the code. There are two ways to do this. If you have an application that puts to a queue, you can change the queue it puts to, instead of being a local queue, to be an alias queue and have that alias queue point to a topic object. This makes your putting application into a publisher without making any code changes. If you have a getting application that is getting from a queue, you can have that application join the publish-subscribe domain by using the define sub command and defining a subscription that joins up a topic string with that application's queue. Messages will then be delivered to that application's queue when somebody publishes on that topic. This gives you a simple way to try out publish-subscribe, although ultimately, if you want to use any of the special options in the programming interface, you will be changing your application to use topics directly. Next page. Here we see a screenshot of the MQ Explorer showing our management of publish-subscribe. The most obvious changes when you first start up a version 7 Explorer will be the topics and subscriptions folders. These are the major changes to the administration model in version 7. Apart from these high-level folders, you will also see changes to context menus, and we show one here, the context menu on a topics folder, showing that there are status commands, topic status for subscribers, topic status for publishers, and the capability to do a test publication and a test subscription. Next page. Here we see examples of the test publication window and the test subscription window. If you set your Explorer up with these two windows using the same topic string, the publications that you type in on the publish test message window, you will see arrive in the subscribe window. The third example there is a status display to show you the sorts of information you get when you look at the subscription status command. These changes to the MQ Explorer allow you to try out using publish-subscribe in an application before you actually write your own application. Next foil. Publish subscribe is, of course, not simply a single queue manager function. Clearly, if you are connected to the queue manager and you publish in one application and subscribe in another, the subscription will be satisfied and delivered a copy of that publication. More interestingly, though, would be to have an application connected to your London queue manager and subscribing to a topic, and an application connected to your New York queue manager publishing to that topic, and having that publication delivered to the London queue manager to satisfy that subscriber. The way you join up your queue managers in order to do this kind of delivery is known as a publish-subscribe topology. MQ version 7 provides a range of topologies, including support for very large numbers of subscribers. It does this with two complementary topology designs, queue manager hierarchies, continuing support for the connection model used by WebSphere MQ version 6 publish-subscribe, and publish-subscribe clusters, similar to the collectives used by Message Broker version 6. Queue manager hierarchies link together queue managers in a parent-child tree. Publications are delivered across these channel links to satisfy subscriptions existing on other queue managers. The availability of this topology is reliant on the links being available, as there's only one route through the queue manager hierarchy from one queue manager to another. Publish-subscribe queue manager clusters link together queue managers using WebSphere MQ queue manager clustering technology. A pub/sub cluster can be defined independently of any existing cluster used for queuing. This topology has all the availability characteristics of MQ clusters with no reliance on any single route between two queue managers. Publications are delivered across cluster channels to satisfy subscriptions existing on the other queue managers. WebSphere MQ version 7 provides interoperability to other publish-subscribe systems through hierarchies, including allowing the linkage of separate publish-subscribe clusters with hierarchical links. This is analogous to joining up clusters with gateway queue managers for queuing. A number of attributes are available to control how much traffic is shared with other clusters. When publications are to be shared, the queue manager will attempt to minimize the traffic, allowing the destination queue manager to do the fan out as close as possible to the subscriber. Next page. Here we look at a couple of examples of topologies. The first is publish-subscribe in a cluster. We talked about the reduction of traffic across these topologies. So let's imagine that we have 5 subscribers at each of the right-hand side queue managers, and we publish on that topic. Only one copy of each publication will be delivered to those 3 right-hand side queue managers, and at the point where they are actually satisfying local subscribers, does the fan out take place to each of the 5? This reduces the use of your network usage. The second picture here shows publish-subscribe in a combined hierarchy and cluster setup. We have a cluster on the left of 4 queue managers and a cluster on the right of 4 queue managers with a hierarchical link between the two. Messages are only delivered over the hierarchical link dependent on the control attributes on the topic at that point. Again, as we said, very similar to gateway queue managers in a queued cluster. This allows you to do business-to-business connectivity or to improve the scalability without placing all queue managers in a single big cluster. Next page. We're now going to take a look at publish-subscribe application programming. Publish-subscribe is part of the JMS API, but we cannot change the JMS API. We do want to make some of its facilities more easily available in the MQ API. This has the effect of improving MQI programming, but also it thins or shrinks the JMS layer that's built on top of the MQI, which also improves the JMS implementation. So, publishing to a topic and subscribing for publications on a topic are now part of the MQI. Subscribing to a topic object registers that application's interest in publications on that topic, and this is done using a new verb, MQSub. Reading the messages from the returned object handle gives that application any publications made to that topic. Opening a topic for output makes this application a publisher. Putting messages to the returned object handle fans out all those messages to the subscribers on that topic. There are various new options available, for example, to indicate whether a subscription is durable or non-durable. If a subscription is made durably, it continues to have publications sent to its indicated target even when the application is not connected. Those subscriptions that are made non-durably, however, cease to exist when the application disconnects, and no further publications are sent to that target. The indicated target for publications used by a subscriber could be a nominated queue, I want to use Q1, or it could be a managed queue. If it is a queue nominated by the subscriber, then it is the responsibility of the application to tidy up that queue and remove all messages from it, even if it is using a non-durable subscription. If the subscriber requests a managed queue, i.e. it's asking the queue manager to look after the storage of the publications to its subscription, then this queue is guaranteed to be local to the queue manager and will be tidied up after the disconnection of a non-durably subscribed application. If the subscription is made durably, it remains in place when the subscribing application disconnects and can be resumed by the subscribing application when it reconnects and requests the subscription again. When an application no longer needs a durable subscription, it can be removed cleanly using some new options on MQ Close. We also include new sample programs to demonstrate this use. We have an AMQS Sub and an AMQS Pub application, very similar to AMQS Get and AMQS Put. Next page. We're now going to look at some non-publish subscribe API changes that were made in version 7. The first of these is message properties. Message properties are arbitrary values associated with the message, but not part of the body of the message. You can think of them rather like a user-extendable message descriptor. This concept is already part of the JMS API. JMS refers to them as user properties. Properties can be of any basic type, for example, integers, strings, or booleans, as expressed in the appropriate programming language. Setting and inquiring of message properties in a message is now part of the MQI, with the introduction of new verbs including MQSetMP and MQInquireMP. We have introduced the concept of message handles to allow references to be made to a message within which message properties are to be enumerated. For applications whose source cannot be changed, the decision to discard message properties can be made based on the consumer of messages at consumption time rather than by the producer of messages, who doesn't necessarily know whether the consumer will be able to accept message properties or not. Message properties will be exposed as MQRFH2 headers when they are sent to older queue managers, as they are today. Configuration options also allow the removal of these properties as they are transferred across the channel. Message properties, introducing the message handle, allowed us to additionally permit the explicit statement of relationships between messages. For example, if message X is a reply to message Y, then this potentially allows monitoring products to tie messages together, where previously they could only guess or have external configuration. This is something that the use of message handles allows us to do now. Next page. Some other MQI enhancements that were added in version 7 include asynchronous message reception, selectors, and cooperative browse. Let's take a look at these. The MQI has been enhanced to provide asynchronous consumption of messages, removing the need for the JMS interface to build the onMessage method on top of a polling MQGet. This allows applications to be called back when a message becomes available, meeting their message selection criteria on one of their named queues. The callback function is also invoked when something happens that requires the application to end, for example, when the connection to the queue manager is being quiesced. Functions to be driven are defined using a new verb, MQCB. This links a function with an object handle previously obtained by opening a queue or subscribing to a topic. The same function may be linked to many different object handles, allowing the consumption of messages from a number of queues at the same time. Once all objects have been opened and all functions have been linked with object handles, another new verb is called to indicate that asynchronous consumption can start. This verb is MQControl or MQCuttle. The connection handle used for this call cannot be used for any other MQI verb outside of the callback handle, apart from for stopping asynchronous consumption again. This is because this handle is now provided to the callback functions when they are delivered a message. Selectors are SQL 92 clauses allowing you to select particular messages by properties or by MQMD fields. They're used by the JMS API, but they are also now available in the MQI, both when opening a queue for input and when subscribing to a topic. Since these selectors are understood by the queue manager, it reduces the number of messages sent to the JMS interface that are discarded because they don't match the selection criteria for the application. Reducing this number of non-matching messages is especially critical when the JMS application is connected as a client because it reduces the CPU and bandwidth used to deliver unneeded messages. Selection can be made based on fields in the message descriptor and on properties. If you want to do selection on content-based filtering, we use the message broker. We have also made enhancements to the browse options to allow efficient browsing, allowing you to browse every message once on a queue, and also to allow cooperative browsing to remove some of the contention that exists when you have message dispatching programs. This was an internal interface in MQ version 6 that was used by the Kix Bridge when reading from a shared queue. It is now a publicly available interface that can be used by any application and is additionally made use of by the message listener in the application server. Next page. If you're a Java programmer, here are some things specifically for you. If you write a JMS program, you can now get read and write access to all the MQMD fields. This is because we have made them all addressable as user properties. They have all been given names as user properties. This allows an application to go beyond the JMS specification, but without breaking the JMS specification. You can read all MQMD fields, and you can write most of the MQMD fields, although there are, of course, one or two of them that the JMS layer makes use of for its own purposes. You can also get access to the full message body content, all the RFH2 folders that are normally stripped to produce JMS user properties are available in this way. This is again done as a message property, as a byte array property. If you are writing applications that build MQ message headers, for example, the Kix information header or maybe parsing the DLH header, there are now a set of helper classes available for you in Java. This is an update and extension of the MS0B support pack that did originally the PCF structures. It has now been extended to do those and all the other MQI headers as well. These helper classes are much easier than byte-by-byte writing a stream of data in Java. Make your programming in Java for MQ API much simpler. Next foil. We're now going to look at a number of client performance scenarios. We've been told by our customers that traditionally MQ non-persistent messages are still more reliable than some customers need. With MQ version 7, it's now possible to have additional trade-off options for performance versus reliability. MQ is providing a comprehensive range of qualities of service for message delivery, ranging from assured delivery to lightweight non-persistent. The first of these we're going to look at is known as read-ahead. Read-ahead is a recognition that the most expensive part of the MQ protocol when getting messages across a client is the line turnaround. Messages are sent to the client when it requests the first one, ahead of it asking for the second message. They're queued in memory internally in the client process so that the next time the MQ application asks to get a message, that get call can be satisfied in memory without needing to go down across the network to the server. This provides a lower quality of service, however, because these messages have now been retrieved from the queue, and if the client application were to terminate, those messages would be lost. Read-ahead is a negotiated option between the client and the server, and therefore it's not available as a back-level client as it will be negotiated to off. It is also set by configuration option on an individual queue level, so the application code does not need to change, although it can also be coded explicitly. Read-ahead only applies to non-persistent messages, so the class of service for persistent messages is not being changed in any way. When there is a mixture of persistent and non-persistent messages on a queue, read-ahead stops until the persistent message is explicitly requested by the application, so it is safe to use with a mixture of persistent and non-persistent messages. Removing this line turnaround, and streaming messages to the client in this way gives us much higher performance in a client where the client is an appropriate use. Certain profiles of application can benefit from providing these message criteria and having the messages sent ahead of time, but not all applications will benefit from this. The other type of scenario we have looked at is known as asynchronous put. Again, this is a recognition that the most expensive part of the client protocol is the line turnaround. You put a message across the client connection and the server returns with a return code. But you may have an application that doesn't actually want to wait for the real return code and can send many messages before asking whether any of those puts failed. Since often, your puts will work. The new verb MQStat allows you to look for a return code later, perhaps by batching these messages up. Put 100 messages, then check for the return code. And if all 100 worked, which they probably did, then all is well. We maintain the transactional semantics when using asynchronous put as well. So if you're putting messages within a transaction and one of these asynchronous puts did actually fail, then when you do a commit, which will go down to the server and do a full line turnaround and come back, the commit will be rolled back. This maintains the transactional semantics and also allows you to get the information that you could have got from MQStat in that either all your messages were successful and thus the MQ commit succeeded, or one or more of your asynchronous puts failed, and so your commit failed, and now you issue MQStat to get the information about which puts failed. Because of the removal of the line turnaround, again, this gives much higher performance in the client when putting lots of messages. Again, in order for this option to be used, both the client and the server must understand it, and therefore it does not provide any advantage to back-level client. It is, however, applicable to both point-to-point and publish-subscribe applications and is available in the MQI. JMS applications get a benefit from this without any application code change at all. The next page provides notes to go with those pages. We'll go on to the following page and have a look at client connection management. The first of these, shared client conversations, recognizes that some applications connect to the queue manager more than once. It is more efficient for these types of applications to share a single socket and thus a single client channel than to each have their own. Doing this reduces the use of certain resources and also means that second and subsequent connections are faster to start up. SSL handshaking only need be done once, security exit conversations only need to be done once, and there are fewer sockets being used. The new implementation of the client in version 7 that uses read-ahead, that does asynchronous put, and that shares client conversations is now full duplex. This means it can be sending and receiving at the same time. Our previous implementation was half duplex, i.e. flip-flop, sending and then waiting for the answer, and then sending and then waiting for the answer. Now that we are full duplex, this gives us the ability to heartbeat across the client channel whenever we need to. Previously, we could only do heartbeating when we were in an MQ get with wait. Our new heartbeating style, that means we can heartbeat whenever we like, allows for faster failure notification for clients. We don't have to wait the standard 2-hour default for keep alive to kick in to tidy up our servicons who've been orphaned now. They will detect within the heartbeat interval plus perhaps a little for latency, cleaning up your servicons much quicker. We have also made some changes to the client channel definition table. We have added automatic workload distribution within it so that you can set up a group of queue managers. You can provide waiting of these queue managers and say I want 25% of my clients to connect to queue manager 1 and 75% of my clients to connect to queue manager 2. You can do all this with a single client channel definition table instance. Additionally, you can now control the number of connected clients to the queue manager. No more badly written client applications using up every single slot within max channels. Now each server connection has a max inst parameter that says how many channels can be connected to this particular definition. There is additionally a max inst C parameter parameter which says how many connections are allowed from any particular IP address. This allows you to absolutely control the number of connected clients you have into each queue manager and into each channel with that queue manager. We provide 5 free administrative client channels for use with the MQ Explorer in version 7. This means you can use the WebSphere MQ Explorer GUI even if you are not purchasing the client attachment feature. You have up to 5 of these for free. The next page provides notes about what we've just talked to. We'll move on to the following page, and we'll take a look at WebSphere MQ Explorer enhancements. There are a number of features that have been added to the MQ Explorer in addition to it doing its business as usual work for doing all the features for publish, subscribe, all the new admin that has been added in version 7. These are those additional features. One of the most frequently requested features has been the ability to partition the list of queue managers into sets. For example, to show the test and production system separately in the navigation tree. This version of the Explorer allows sets to be defined. Queue managers can either be assigned to sets manually or automatically based on some attributes such as the command level value. Queue managers can also appear in more than one set. And there are some operations that can be applied at the set level, such as connecting to all of them with a single click. Some improvements have been made to security configuration, making it easier to define channel exits and user ID and password configurations for use for the client connection that connects for the Explorer. There's a password manager component for use with this as well, allowing you to store all your passwords securely and then to log on to the password manager once instead of having to re-enter each password for each queue manager whenever you restart the Explorer. We have made the JMS administration in the GUI much more tightly integrated. When a queue or a topic is created in MQ, the wizard can optionally also drive the corresponding JMS operation. This can assist with the integration of JMS configuration options with MQ configuration. The message browser now has preferences to say how many messages to read from the queue instead of the previously hard-coded 500. Similarly, the length of messages can also be configured. And the Explorer has been updated to use the current version of the Eclipse runtime, version 3.3. Anyone who has written user plugins ought to work unchanged, but Eclipse has deprecated some interfaces that existed in the previous version, so compatibility cannot be guaranteed. One major change, however, is that the PCF classes are now officially available and supported. Plugins should be changed to use those interfaces. And as we already mentioned, you can use MQ Explorer to manage your ZOS queue managers without having to buy the client attach feature. Next page, and we'll see a couple of screenshots to show you 2 of the features we just discussed. Queue manager sets, and we have an example there that there's a set automatically provided that has all the queue managers in it. And then I've created 2 following sets, a development queue manager set and a production queue manager set. The lower half of the foil shows another screenshot with the Explorer preferences showing you their security exit, the SSL key repositories, the SSL options, and the user identification Explorer preferences, which allows you to configure your client exits and your user ID and password configurations as we just discussed. Next page. Let's summarize the benefits of version 7 on ZOS. We have the premier ease of use for improved developer productivity. This includes a graphical configuration of JMS administration and publish subscribe with MQ. New MQI verbs providing greater flexibility in retrieving messages, adding custom properties to your messages, and automatically notifying applications when messages arrive. Remember, you can use the MQ Explorer, which runs on Windows and Linux on x86 platforms, to manage the ZOS parts of your WebSphere MQ network without having to buy the client attach feature. Enhanced performance and usability for JMS and MQI users. We have seen increases in JMS and publish-subscribe performance, increasing the JMS listener throughput by up to 220% on ZOS. You're spending less MIPS through this. We've also seen increased throughput and resilience of MQ client connections with some of the features we've just been discussing. New publish-subscribe for ZOS users. This enables event-driven delivery of messages, increasing flexibility of messaging to help reduce time, efforts, and costs of introducing new applications and making changes to existing ones. Enhanced connectivity for Web 2.0 developers. We'll have a look at this in a foil later on. But WebSphere MQ version 7 also enables developers to use AJAX to build Web 2.0 applications that connect to the back-end business applications and data. And we provide a bridge for HTTP, enabling simple REST-style access to WebSphere MQ. Please note this helps simplify deployment and maintenance of large-scale distributed applications and enables simple access to MQ without need to install MQ clients. Next page. We're now going to take a brief look at WebSphere MQ and the web. Next page. WebSphere MQ makes reliable web services possible. Many developers today connect their web services using HTTP. This may seem good enough to start with, especially when your network is working correctly. But it doesn't address reliability and auditability, and it does mean that your servers both have to be available while they're communicating. They're locked together. MQ provides a layer of messaging services to help make your SOAP exchanges more reliable than those sent over HTTP. Makes your SOAP exchanges transactional, allowing service resources to be updated atomically so they retain integrity and so that failures can be recovered and retried. Messages arrive in the same order as they were sent. Your SOAP exchanges are decoupled. They are time independent, so they can handle other requests while waiting for responses from the service provider. SOAP exchanges can be buffered, so that SOAP requests can be throttled for batch-style web services. They're also buffered so that spikes in total numbers of requests can be smoothed out. SOAP exchanges can be clustered, so SOAP requests can be processed in parallel by multiple service providers and easily integrated with applications that are not yet enabled for SOA. This messaging services layer also provides auditing, so your SOAP exchanges are auditable. Next page. WebSphere MQ Bridge for HTTP is a RESTful-based interface for driving MQ processing. The first goal of this HTTP feature is to extend the reach of MQ applications to more environments, such as web browsers. This will give rich internet applications simplified access to the enterprise. Eliminating the MQ client on these platforms reduces the cost of application deployment, although this is not a complete replacement for the MQ client. This facility gives a simple interface into MQ, but it is missing many of the richer MQI features and doesn't offer transactionality, for example. But in many cases, for simple applications, what is available through the RESTful MQ HTTP bridge will be good enough. This was previously Support Pack MA0Y, and it has now been shipped with MQ version 7. It is shipped as a servlet that runs in an application server. There is additionally MA94, which is a non-servlet version. Choose the one that is most appropriate for you. If you are already an application server shop, you should use the servlet. If you are not, you can try MA94. The API is modeled after REST, that is, Representational State Transfer Principles. REST offers a different integration style to the WS standards-based web services. Qualities of service are sacrificed for simplicity and scalability to keep barriers to entry low. REST APIs are typically simple and can be used spontaneously and incrementally, for example, in Web 2.0 mashups. The HTTP MQ API is largely based on REST, although it has quirks. For example, the bridge transfers message representations, but messages are not ideal REST resources. This is because they do not necessarily have a unique identifier and so cannot be addressed individually. And they're not generally amenable to caching, etc., because they must be delivered only once. They're very transient. It is a stateless, connectionless API with one HTTP verb corresponding to one MQ operation. Next page. The HTTP headers are the message headers, request headers, get and put options, wait, and require headers. Entity headers, the MQMD options, For example, priority, expiry, timestamp, persistence, message ID, call ID, and reply to. And the HTTP request payload is the message body, as either text or binary. We see in the table here a mapping from the HTTP verb to the MQ verb. If you use an HTTP GET, that's a GET with browse. If you use an HTTP DELETE, that's a destructive GET. And if you use an HTTP POST, that's an MQ PUT. We also see some sample URIs here. HTTP colon slash slash hostname slash message slash Q slash and then your Q name. Do a POST to this URI and you're putting a message to that Q. Next page. Now we'll look at MQ as an SOA asset. Various MQ users have requested guidance from IBM on how they should describe their MQ applications as services for use in SOA. This has been particular interest in applying this to unmanaged, i.e. not hosted environments such as Kix or WebSphere Application Server, i.e. that's unmanaged native MQ applications. Doing this, providing this standard way to describe all MQ applications, allows applications to be inventoried and catalogued. For example, the WSDL description of an app can be stored in the WebSphere Server's Registry and Repository, also known as WSRR. It will allow applications to be managed and traced with SOA tools, which could monitor the queues associated with the service. It allows applications to be reused in composite applications. For example, once the service definition has been implemented by web services tools, it will be possible to drop an MQ application into a composite web services application, and the tools will generate the code required to invoke the application. IBM has created the MQ service definition and SOAP binding. It consists of two documents. It consists of an IRI specification defining the address of MQ message destinations, those are queues or topics, and the address of other resources such as queue managers, channel stasis, etc. for use by admin tools. It also provides a binding specification which defines properties which may be used to describe and connect to an MQ application, the mapping of properties to message headers for the construction and interpretation of SOAP and non-SOAP messages, supported message exchange patterns, request queue, response queue, so forth, and a WSDL binding for SOAP MQ and non-SOAP MQ. This has been published as Support Pack MA93. Next page. Now a brief look at MQ and Linux for System Z. Why would you use Linux for System Z? And why would you use MQ on Linux for System Z? The quick answer is consolidation. A very popular configuration is one that uses a Linux for System Z queue manager as a gateway into the ZOS queue manager cluster and shared queues. This configuration is often used for queue manager and client connection concentration. It can take advantage of hypersockets, speeding messages to their final destination while reducing the number of connections to the ZOS queue manager to a manageable level. On the topic of queue manager consolidation, one customer reported replacing 10 queue managers on distributed servers with one queue manager on Linux for System Z with no degradation in throughput. Others have reported replacing multiple instances, though not usually with quite such dramatic results. Best results are for consolidation of client connections where the back-end processing is on ZOS. On the topic of stability, we have a customer reporting replacing 8 Windows servers running MQ and applications with 2 Linux for System Z instances running the same stack. Their downtime has been dramatically reduced, and they gained the added benefit of reducing software licensing. Next page. Now we'll take a brief look at WebSphere MQ and files. Next page. Here we introduce the newest member of the MQ family, the WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition. This also has an edition on ZOS. This builds upon MQ's proven transport backbone, and it delivers a robust solution for managed file transfer. It allows you to use MQ's backbone to deliver your files, do your FTP of files across MQ. It provides you with reliable delivery of these files. It is optimized for both small and massive files and provides an audit trail of all the file transfers you've done. It's also designed to integrate with IBM's SOA portfolio and enables files to be delivered to the WebSphere message broker for file processing. We see a brief picture of the architecture of the File Transfer Edition below. It has a GUI configuration and administration that matches and fits in with the MQ Explorer GUI. The tooling publishes the transfer requests to the backbone. Agents running alongside queue managers publish an audit trail to the coordinator. Agents monitor file directories, load and unload files, and perform pre- and post-transfer activities. The coordination queue manager publishes transfer status, process, and audit trails, and is the only queue manager in the system that requires to run on MQ version 7. You could have multiple coordination queue managers if you wish, which can control transfers, capture audit logs, and publish status. Next page. The next steps to finding more information about these topics. Talk with your IBM representative and IBM business partners to identify ways to help achieve your business goals with WebSphere MQ. I provide here more information about MQ on the MQ web pages, more information about WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition on an IBM web page, and some additional materials related to WebSphere MQ and its value on the ZOS platform. Thank you very much for your attention. I will now turn it back to the operator for questions.
Thank you, Maura. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have a live Q&A session. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. How do you connect your Z applications today? If messaging with WebSphere MQ, press star 1. If another messaging product, press star 2. If sockets programming, press star 3. If FTP, press star 4. Or if other, press star 5. Question 4. If you're using WebSphere MQ for ZOS, when do you plan to move to version 7? If already on version 7, press star 1. If in the next 6 months, press star 2. If in the next 6 to 12 months, press star 3. If in over 12 months, press star 4. Or if other, press star 5. And question 5, we hope you enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Thank you all for your responses. At this time, if you'd like to ask questions, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. With us today for the question and answer period, we'll have Elena Woods and Pete Siddall. Unfortunately, Morag did have to disconnect early. Once again, we will like to take your questions. Please press star 1 at this time. We'll go first to Clyde Miner.
Yes, my question is, given the plethora of information about MQ version 7, the more I heard about it, particularly as it relates to messaging and PubSub, the more I started to think of it as an ESB solution. And yet what I've been told by IBM, at least fairly recently, is that Webster Message Broker is their rich ESB solution. Is Webster Message Broker working in concert with MQ version 7 to produce an ESB capability, or is MQ version 7 usurping it? Can you give me a sense of how they relate to each other at this point?
Hey, this is Pete Siddall here. I think what we're seeing is that the MQ base product that we've been talking about here is picking up a lot of the sort of the plumbing, if you like, for the enterprise service bus. So what we're seeing here in version 7 of MQ is the PubSub stuff, which was previously available through Message Broker, being pushed down into the transport and being that kind of function being taken on by the MQ-based product. I think you'll see some more of that over, you know, future releases, but what we're not trying to do is to usurp that message broker positioning where all that valuable function of being able to look at the content of messages, parse messages, interface with your other applications and things like that. That kind of function which is performed by the broker product today, that there's no plans to sort of push that down into the MQ based product at all.
So if I want a rich ESB solution, basically, we're just pushing a lot of the transport sort of lower in the ISO stack, but still to have the total ESB solution, this has to work in concert with WMB.
That's correct. Yes.
I see. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, this is Elena Wood here. I'm also from the Hursley Lab. I'm the marketing manager for the application integration portfolio, and Peter's our MQ development manager. Just to add, really, to elaborate on what Pete said about the plumbing being an MQ and an additional functionality, this rich ESB functionality provided by Message Broker. This also enables you to choose your ESB solution to an extent, because we also offer two other products which we position as an ESB. We offer WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus and Data Power Integration Appliance XI50. So all three of them really can make use of these capabilities of MQ version 7 and work very well together. And it really depends on your specific probably project requirements and the functionality you need, which ESB you might choose, maybe several of them.
And once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1. And there appear to be no further questions. I'll turn the conference back to you all. Mr. Siddall, Ms. Woods, do you have any closing comments?
I don't.
No, thank you all very much for attending so early in the year, and we'll always be very happy to take questions offline as well. I think Morag's details were on the presentation. If not, there was additional contact information in the teleconference leaflet, I believe.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference. Have a pleasant day.